Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Let's talk about the technology industry, because there's certainly been a tremendous amount of layoffs happening. We know that this has become part of what we're seeing in the industry. What is the cause of this? Microsoft went down yesterday. They've also laid off people. Was that sabotage? Was that simply technology playing up? We wanted to get all of these updates from Jan Vermeulen. He's editor at MyBroadband. Jan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So lots going on in the tech world. Is it recalibrating? What is going on here?
Yes, in a sense, it's recalibrating to the economic environment, and so rising interest rates. So I'm just going to quote people who are much smarter than me, and analysts who have looked at this who are much smarter than me. But essentially, what happens is increased interest rates causes the cost of capital to go up, and technology businesses, by and large, are all growth businesses. So whether it's Microsoft, Facebook, Google, all of them essentially borrow money to grow the company. And part of that growth is hiring, right? So you borrow money, and, you know, with that capital, you essentially hire on people to build, you know, new products and services, or expand products and services of the company. And then as those products and services generate revenue, the people that you've hired, it becomes sustainable, right? When the interest rates go up, that means immediately your debt repayments go up. And so, so your cost base increases substantially with every quarter percentage point that interest rates are hiked. And so, they have to contain those costs. And the easiest way to contain those costs is to fire people, because it's by far the biggest cost item on most of these companies' income statements. And so that's where the retrenchments come from. It's simple accounting, unfortunately.
Have a lot of these companies, and it certainly does appear that way, but I might be completely wrong about this, they seem quite fat and over, like they've employed too many, maybe a little bit complacent in a way.
Yes, right. But it's got to do with how much risk you can take when interest rates are low. So, you know, yes, with that comes bloat. And that's why, you know, infamously and perhaps controversially, Elon Musk can walk into Twitter, fire 70% of people, and it still keeps working. And I suspect you can do that with almost any technology company. There's hordes of companies that, and of course in South Africa, probably every state-owned enterprise. Mm. But yeah, that's the reality of it. Is I actually broadly and generally agree with you. The companies in bull times, in times of economic expansion, yeah, there's a complacency around containing their costs. And so there's a lot of people in those companies who are not very productive relative to others, and that causes this situation where, unfortunately, when times get tough and belts need to get tightened, people get axed.
So most of this, or very little of this, from what you're saying, has anything to do with the whole new AI trend that jobs, in fact, are being, you know, people's jobs are being replaced by artificial intelligence.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. I mean, maybe one day. I certainly don't discount it. It's definitely possible. And, you know, we know that a lot of automation, so, you know, normal non-artificially intelligent robots, so whether that's, you know, picking machines or some other tools in the manufacturing sector, or if you go, you know, to more developed economies now, or more, shall we call them, more mature economies now, and I'm talking about the UK, the United States, and so on. If you go to a shop, the checkouts are almost all automated and self-checkout. Whereas in obviously in a country like South Africa, that would be impossible to do. That would be incredibly unpopular, because you would eliminate thousands of jobs if you allow self-checkout to take off. And so you see just normal automation already kind of eliminating less skilled work. And then, but what the artificial intelligence revolution is aiming or looks poised to do is eliminating some white collar work. So everything from conveyancing attorneys to, elementary or basic level medical consultations. So in those cases, it's certainly not going to, cause the legal industry or the medical or it's not going to eliminate doctors, but it's going to potentially take work away from them. The easy work,
Increase efficiency? Doesn't that, when in certain areas, of course, we're very blessed to have access to our doctors, but in many areas, people don't. So instead of looking at it as making doctors less relevant, in fact, what it can do is provide medical care to more people.
Yes, and let's look at that in the context. There's always a double-edged sword. Let's look at that in the context of what we know currently, right? Mm. So the internet has enabled online media, which is, my industry, and so I've got a vested interest in this. Mm. And that means that's democratized access to information, that's democratized publishing, that's made it so that, people who maybe can't buy, you're not in New York, you can't buy a New York Times, but you can read the New York Times now, you can read the LA Times now, you can read the Washington Post, you can read all of these publications. Many of them have been, very slow to adopt the benefits that online media gives them. And so you see a lot of these newspapers suffering. But the second edge of that sword is you are seeing a massive shift in media, where people are losing their jobs. Everyone from journalists themselves to sub-editors to editors for every section, that's just not sustainable anymore. Because the efficiency that online publishing gives you means that there are media organizations out there that can run leaner and meaner than traditional outfits can, and it also means that the advertising money has shifted from print to online. And so those traditional media outlets that have been slow to adopt the change end up either having to retrench or shut down. And that's the same kind of shift I think we'll see with the adoption of artificial intelligence. It'll make services that much more accessible, possibly even that much more affordable, but that is going to come at the cost of some jobs probably.
So somebody sent me a program that they had developed or they had created using ChatGPT, for example, and what it does is it breaks up. So if you put an email in, I actually took an article that I had written, and you put that in, and you could ask it to change the tone. So you could make rewrite a paragraph in a more angry tone, a more cynical tone, more humorous, and it was absolutely astounding what this could do. And in literally in seconds, I could put an article in, it edits it, and changes however I want to change. And I have to tell you, it made me feel a little uncomfortable.
Right. So on one level, it can be an incredibly powerful tool. It can make us better writers, right? But on the other hand, how far away are we from, people? Because one of the things about democratizing access is that it makes specialists in certain fields the less, shall we say, less necessary, you don't need them as widespread, because now, anybody who knows what kind of prompt to give these tools is able to generate a fairly competent article, right? The problem with ChatGPT is it spits out very incorrect stuff. So mercifully for us, for the medical fraternity and for lawyers, I think we are
It's very waffly. Yeah. I mean, I've tried a few things. Just come on, ChatGPT, get to the point.
But it can make you a better, people who adopt it and use it, it can actually make the quality of your work better. It can be sort of like an artificial intelligence assistant. And already that can put dedicated sub-editors job in under threat, because if these AI assistants can help edit work and make them better, then you need less people to edit copy, right? So that's sort of the first job that comes under threat. But it also means that you as a writer who might not even have had access to an editor in the first place, that it can make you better. And so there's always the two sides of the coin.
It's very, very interesting. Before I let you go, we are out of time, but just tell us quickly what you know about Microsoft's outage yesterday.
Yes, so Microsoft has been tight-lipped about what exactly happened, but they said it was a network infrastructure change, a configuration change, and that, to those of us in the industry, is code for someone pushed a buggy a config update to a router that caused essentially parts of important parts, potentially even like the whole Microsoft network. But we know Microsoft.com was up, but like the Microsoft's cloud infrastructure to be wiped off the internet temporarily. That's linked to what we call the domain name system. And so once they figured out what had happened, they reverted the change, and then it took, you know, between I think 15 minutes and 45 minutes for the change to propagate through the internet, and then everything came back online. That's as best we can piece together, because Microsoft isn't giving details, but that's probably what happened.
And that's where we leave it. 7:31, Jan van Meulen, editor at MyBroadband. Thank you, as always.